for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 11th Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, February the 17th, 2007. Kathy Sistrunk is the speaker of this service, teaching on faith.
Well, how's everybody holding up? Everybody's holding up okay? You're not hearing more and having to obtain more than what you can absorb. How's everybody's ears? Your ears are open? Are your ears ready to receive? Let's see if you can get your ears ready like my little friend here does. So get your ears ready. Get your ears perked up. This is for me and my great-granddaughter. I told Janie, I said, they'll never invite me back. Between the carrots and the bunny, I think I've had it. I've ruined my reputation. But you know, God has a sense of humor. And if it says a merry heart's good like a medicine, then we ought to laugh a lot. We were in there at supper, and there was a bunch of ladies. Y'all were just really rowdy. You were just really rowdy. And we just laughed and said, you know, they're getting some medicine. They're getting some healing down there because they're having a good time, and that's what we want to do. Our meetings should not always have to be a serious thing and a heavy thing, but, you know, God can give you the word and set you free. And have fun in the process. Because I believe Jesus laughed a lot. Have you ever seen that movie? I think it's a Matthew that they did a story of Jesus. And it shows him laughing with the kids. And when he healed the leper, they ran back to him and jumped in his arms. And they just twirled around and danced around. And you know, if he said they healed the man at the gate, beautiful, and he left leaping and praising, jumping and praising God. So, you know, I think we can do the same thing. So I want us to give the kitchen help and all of the help here a good round of applause. And then I want us to give a good shout offering to the Lord. Thank you! One thing I learned from Brother Frank and Sister Ida is when you minister, have fun. And put your people at ease and let them know that this is going to be a good time. We're going to learn, but we're going to try to have fun in the process. Okay, now as women, we know spring cleaning is coming up. Now here's your schedule for house cleaning for 2007. Last week, I threw out worrying. It was getting old and in the way. It kept me from being me, and I couldn't do things God's way. I threw out a book on my past. I didn't have time to read it anyway. I replaced it with new goals and started reading that one today. I threw out hate and bad memories. Remember how I treasured them so? Like to go back and visit those little areas? I got me a new philosophy, too. I threw out the one from long ago. I brought in some new books, too, called I Can, I Will, and I Must. I threw out I Might, I Think, and I Ought. Wow, you should have seen the dust. I ran across an old friend that I hadn't talked to in a while. His name is God the Father, And I really like his style. He helped me do some cleaning and added some things himself, like prayer, hope, faith, and love. Yes, I placed them right on the shelf. I picked up this special thing and placed it at the front door. I found it. It's called peace. Nothing gets me down anymore. Yes, I've got my house looking nice. It looks good around the whole place. For things like worry and trouble, there just isn't any place. It's good to do a little house cleaning and get rid of the things on the shelf. It sure makes things brighter. Maybe you should try it yourself. Be blessed and be a blessing to someone else. May the Lord open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room to receive it all. And may the Lord bless you abundantly and exceedingly above all that you could ever hope for. So that's our house cleaning recipe for 2007. So tonight I want to talk to you about faith and how some of the things that get in trouble with faith is fear. So it's important. I can't see around that. It's important that we have a foundational truth about who God is and how powerful His Word is. He's someone greater than we are. It's someone that we can have faith and trust in. And that's what we have been instilling in you this weekend. You can have faith and trust in God because He is reliable. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is our life. He is the power of our life. And His words are our life because this word is living. It's fresh. It's rhema word. Every day you can get something fresh and new out of the word. But we know that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And that God told us, choose life. Choose blessings, not the curses. Faith is God's nature. It's the nature of God. Faith is the word of God. This world was built on faith. He spoke it. It came into existence. Everything we do is by faith. We eat, we breathe, we walk, we speak, and we see by faith. We sat down in those chairs tonight, and we didn't think, is this chair going to hold me up? Because of past experience, it's held us up. We flip the light switch, and the lights come on. We turn on the water faucet, unless it's 10 below zero where the water's frozen, water comes out. And we've had that happen. We've turned on the faucet and no water. But that's our fault because we haven't taken the preparation to keep it from freezing that we should have done. And the same way we get in trouble in our life is because we have not taken the time to make the preparation that we need to make to keep ourselves from being vulnerable to the enemy. Faith has the power to make you what God wants you to be. Only we have to be ready to step into His plan, not our plan, not somebody else's plan, but God's plan for our lives. And we have to believe His Word, that what His Word says is true. It's still operating today, just like it did when He spoke it. This world is still going around, just like it did when He created it to do that. And until He comes back and destroys the whole thing, it's going to keep functioning in the same way that He created it and designed it to function. And we are going to do the same thing. Hebrews 4:2 says, the word which they heard did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith in those who heard it. When you hear a word, if you don't mix it with faith, it doesn't work. And we being women know that if we're going to make a cake, if we don't put all of the right ingredients in it, the cake's not going to turn out to be the cake we expected. And it's the same way with faith. If we don't mix the Word of God with faith and with trust in Him, then it's not going to operate the way He wanted it to. There are two two functions that operate in the spirit world. One of them is faith, and the other is fear. And the strongest one is faith, which is of God. One belongs to the devil, which is fear, and faith belongs to God. And we've heard this weekend that fear brings bondage and it brings torment. Romans 8:31 reminds us, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, if you've got the Creator of the universe on your side, you should not, we should not fear another person, or we should not fear some puny little demon that got kicked out of heaven because he was disobedient. Satan's greatest tool and our greatest weakness is a spirit of unbelief. That is what got him kicked out of heaven, was his unbelief in who God was and thinking that he was going to be the supreme ruler, but he wanted to step in. I will ascend. I will. I will. I will. And it got him kicked out of heaven. But the greatest power is faith, and faith that works by love. So we shouldn't be afraid. We should just believe, according to Mark 5:36. And it says, when we talk about Satan knows our weaknesses, we found this week that there's some of us that might have a little weakness for shopping, and especially for 70% off bargains. But you know, that's a blessing of God. The dear little woman, she brought her pants and left her tops at home. So we went shopping, and God blessed her with some beautiful clothes, you know, at a great, great price. We just went shopping in faith. We knew that we were going to find her some good clothes, and we did. Now, another interesting thing about fear and faith is when Jamie and I met in Amarillo, and we checked our luggage. We had both checked our luggage, and it was gone. And I had my briefcase sitting beside me, and Janie said, well, I guess I should get me one of those. And I said, well, I put my notes and my Bible in my briefcase because I know at times the luggage has gotten lost on the plane, and you don't get it for a while, and I wanted my Bible and my notes. So I put mine in a briefcase, and Janie goes, oh, my goodness, I should have done the same thing. Now I'm going to be all nervous. And I said, oh, it'd be fine. So we get to Arkansas, and I was watching them unload the luggage, and I thought, well, that looks like my suitcase. And Janie thought she saw hers. So we go down to the luggage rack, and Janie gets hers off, and I see this man grab a suitcase down there, and I thought, well, that looks kind of like mine. But it's a big red suitcase, and everybody has one like that. So the suitcases all come and they go, and this one keeps going around and going around. And Janie said, isn't that yours? And I said, no, I'm not Mary Ramsey from Lubbock. So that's not my suitcase. So she gets it off of we get it off of a conveyor belt. And we go in and we tell this lady, my luggage is missing. But here is this one. And I think that lady got my luggage. So she gets on the phone, and the lady lived in Lubbock, had left a phone number, but it was her number in Lubbock. So the lady there, she calls Lubbock, and they leave a message. She leaves a message on the answering machine. Well, there was a cell phone number, but she called that, and nothing happened. So she kept trying, and she said, that lady had two bags, and I'm sure she took yours by mistake. So the long story short, is that they did get called to Mary Ramsey, who was 20 minutes outside of Little Rock, and she brought my luggage back. But I said, you know, that's so funny that my luggage is the one. Janie's made it fine with her Bible and her notes, but mine went off with Mary Ramsey from someplace else. But anyway, I had my Bible and my notes. No clothes, but I had my Word. So how many times have we prayed and we don't get an answer? And we do like that carrot that I had today. We pray and then we just kind of give up and think, well, that obviously was not God, that I should have been praying that, or this prayer would have been answered. But The woman that came to Jesus and asked about her daughter being healed, you know, he just kind of ignored her, but she kept persisting. And she said, I believe my daughter needs to be delivered. And he even called her a dog. And she says, but even the little dogs get the crumbs that fall off of the master's table. And that's where children's bread comes in, because Jesus told her, the deliverance is the children's bread. But she kept pushing in, she kept pressing in, and the Lord God gave her her answer. So we have to do the same thing. When we need to hear from God, do we sometimes just hear silence? I have. And I've, you know, thought, you know, Lord, I know that you say that you never leave us nor forsake us, but or couldn't you get just a little bit closer, you know, where I can hear at least you breathing or something? I wanted a rubber band, but I forgot to get one. When we are having to stretch our faith and find His will and we hear nothing, do we continue to trust? God's tender heart must often ache listening to our sad, complaining cries. Our weak, impatient hearts cry out because we fail to see through our tear-blinded, short-sighted eyes that it's for our sake that He does not answer at all, or that He answers in a way we believe is less than the best. In fact, the silences of Jesus are as eloquent as His words and may not be a sign of disapproval, but of His approval and His way of providing a deeper blessing for us. The Psalms 43:5 says, why are you cast down, O my soul? I will yet praise Him. Yes, I will praise Him even in the silence. Now let me relate a beautiful story of how one Christian woman dreamed she saw three women in prayer. When they knelt to pray, the Master drew near to them. As He approached the first of the three, He bent over her with tenderness and grace. He smiled with radiant love, and He spoke to her in tones of pure, sweet music. Upon leaving her, He came to the next, but He only placed His hand upon her bowed head, and He gave her one look of loving approval. He passed the third woman almost abruptly, without stopping for a word or a glance. The woman, having the dream, said to herself, how great He must love the first woman. The second woman gained His approval, but did not experience the special demonstration of love He gave the first. But the third woman must have grieved Him deeply, for He gave her no word at all, not even a passing look. She wondered what the third woman must have done to have been treated so differently. As she tried to account for the actions of her Lord, He Himself came and stood beside her. He said to her, O woman, how wrongly you have interpreted me. The first kneeling woman needs the full measure of my tenderness and care for her to keep her feet on my narrow way. She needs my love, she needs my thoughts and my help every moment of the day, for without them, she would stumble into failure. The second woman has stronger faith and deeper love than the first, and I can count on her to trust me, no matter how things may be going or whatever people may do. Yet the third woman, whom I seem to not notice and even to neglect, has faith and love of the purest quality. I am training her through quick and drastic ways for the highest and holiest service. She knows me so intimately, and she trusts me so completely, that she no longer depends on my voice, my loving glances, or other outward signs to know of my approval. She is not dismayed or discouraged by any circumstances I arrange for her to encounter. She trusts me when common sense, reason, and even subtle instincts of the natural heart would rebel, knowing that I am preparing her for eternity and realizing that the understanding of what I do will come later. Just like Job, she would say, even though you slay me, yet I will praise Him. My love is silent because I love beyond the power of words to express it and beyond the understanding of the human heart. Also, it is silent for your sakes that you learn to love and trust me with pure spirit-taught, spontaneous responses. I desire for your response to my love to be without prompting of anything external. We do not have to see it to believe what His Word says. We take it on faith. We never should look ahead to the changes and challenges of this life with fear. Instead, as these challenges arise, we should look at them with the full assurance of faith that God, whose we are, will deliver us. We are His, and hasn't He kept us so far? So we can trust Him and depend on Him. Now that first woman, you would say she is a new Christian. She's a babe in Christ. That she needs that loving, tender nurturing that God could give her. She needs that every single day. It's just like a baby that has to have that special attention. But then as you grow and mature, you don't have to have as much pampering and as much petting. You begin to stand on your own two feet and to be a little more mature and make some choices. And the third woman was a mature Christian who had walked with her Lord, who had seen Him prove Himself time and time again in her life. And she knew that no matter what the circumstance, He was always going to be there. His name was just a mouth whisper away, that all she has to do is call on Him and He would be there. So that's the difference in those three women. And you might say, well, where am I in that? Do I have to have outward signs all the time to know that God is doing something with me? Can I just read His Word? Can I believe it and accept it and receive it? Hebrews 4:2 says, the word which they heard did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. But the Word of God is life and power for us to have at our disposal. That the Word has to be mixed with faith. And John 5:24 says, he who hears my words, to him it gives life. Read the Word out loud. I find when I read silently, it's real easy to get distracted and your mind can wander. And it says faith comes by hearing. So if you read it out loud, you're going to hear it. And it also keeps your mind focused and you don't get distracted. In John chapter 4, in verses 46 through 53, is the story of the nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And the father came to Jesus seeking healing for his son. And Jesus said to him, because I think this man had seen Jesus do signs and miracles and wonders. And Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The man's response was, please come and heal my son. Jesus replied, you may go your way, your son will live. Okay, now that would be enough for us to believe the son was healed. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. The servants met him and told him that his son was alive. After inquiring when the son was healed, he found the son was healed at the same time that Jesus had spoken it. Then he believed. After he saw or heard the manifestation of it, then he believed and his whole household was saved. Are we like that? Do we have to see signs and wonders before we can believe? Is our faith in God or in a certain man? Do we have to come here to get deliverance, or can we be at home and call upon the name of the Lord and get deliverance? Healing or provision, anything that we need. We did a conference in Florida with Brother Frank many years ago, and at the end of it, we would have a healing ministry with Dick and Minnie Coleman. So Brother Frank was praying for this one lady. She came up, and she had this huge goiter. And, of course, that's pretty obvious what you'd want prayer for. So Brother Frank said, okay, sister, what is your prayer need? She said, well, my knee's hurting me. And he said, well, okay, I'll pray for your knee, but what about your goiter in your neck? Oh, no, I'm saving that one for Benny Hinn. And she would not let Brother Frank pray for that. She was going to go to Benny Hinn to get him to pray for the goiter. You know, when she had faith for her knee, but she didn't have faith to let Brother Frank pray for a goiter that was in her neck. We got to stop that. You know? And Marvin tells this story about little Jimmy. The preacher was to do a revival, and the preacher was real sick. He was so, so sick. And he went to the church, and he prayed, and he begged God. He prayed, and he begged God. And there was a woman there cleaning the church, and she had a son who was mentally retarded with her. And he was running around the church in his little cowboy outfit with his guns, shooting bang, 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 you know. And so the preacher said, God, why? You've got to heal me because I've got to do this meeting tonight. And God said, get Jimmy to pray for you. That was the little boy's name. He said, get Jimmy? He's running around here playing cowboys and Indians with nobody. And God said, get Jimmy to pray for you. So the preacher said, okay. So he called him and he said, Jimmy, would you come over here and pray for me? So Jimmy came over, laid his hands on him, and said, God heal him. Took off shooting his pistol, you know. And God healed him. Now, you know, most of us would get together, get a bus, and go find Jimmy. Let's go get Jimmy to pray for us. So we get caught up in our faith is in man more than it is in God.
All right?
Yeah. It's in God. It's in man more than it is in the Scripture. Mark 11:24 says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, and you'll receive it. If you don't doubt, and if you don't have any fear, that it's not going to be answered. James 1:2-3 says, reckon it nothing but joy whenever you find yourself hedged in various trials. Be assured that the testing of your faith leads to the power of endurance. How can we know we have faith if it's never tested? And this is where the rubber band comes in. The Lord gave me this example a while back. That this is a rubber band, and it looks good. Just doing there like this, it's fine. But what is its purpose? Its purpose is not to just hold something this size, but its purpose is to stretch and to hold something much larger. And our faith is like that. God gives us faith. He may give us faith like this, but He doesn't want our faith to stay like this forever. Every time we go through a trial and we see Him do something for us, what happens? Our faith grows. Our faith stretches, and pretty soon you're able to believe Him for more and more and more and more. And if your rubber band breaks, He'll give you another one. You know, if you get to the breaking point in your faith, He's going to put you back together, and you're going to start all over. So when you see a rubber band, remember, this is my faith, and I can stretch my faith for what I need, and I can believe God for it, because He's a man of His word. He's not a man that He should lie, or a son of a man that He has to repent. He's God, He's holy, He's omnipotent, and He can do what He wants to, when He wants to, and how He wants to. Luke 18:1, Jesus told His disciples, and He tells us, that we should always pray and not give up. We should be persistent and keep on praying and keep on trusting Him and keep on stretching our faith. And to prove our faith, it's going to take more than just one prayer. There are some things that we've been praying for a long time. We know we're going to see an answer someday, you know, but at least like Marvin, he's had three different healings in his body, but then he has a problem with a rash on his skin that God hasn't chosen to heal that. You know now why He's done a back thing for him and taken a bone out of his foot that was broken, and yet he still has this one area that he hasn't gotten a healing in. So, but he keeps praying and trusting the Lord for it. But it's easy to have faith when our prayers get answered right away, isn't it? And we are an instant society. Instant potatoes, instant healing, instant this, instant that. Everything is instant. But God's not an instant God. Have any of y'all realize that? He is the slowest person to always be on time that I have ever seen. He is a God of the last minute. You know? He is a God of the midnight hour. We are to pray and believe and not give up until the thing we're having faith for comes to pass. Remember Daniel, he prayed for 21 days. And finally an angel came to him and said, your prayer was answered right away, but I've been fighting the prince of Persia, and it's hindered you getting your prayer. So sometimes, you know, we need to look and say, okay, what is it that's stopping and blocking us getting our answer? Maybe it's unconfessed sin. Maybe it's a family curse. You know, we just need to look and see and ask God to show us why our prayer is not getting answered. And I really like this story. The great Oriental conqueror, Tamerlane, told his friends, observe the ant. You know the Lord told us to do that. Observe the ant and what she does. In relating a story from his early life, he said, I was once forced to take shelter from my enemies in a dilapidated building where I sat alone for many hours. Wishing to divert my mind from my hopeless situation, I fixed my eyes on an ant carrying a corn larger than itself up a high wall. And I've seen those little ants carry things that you wonder how in the world they ever get that up above their head, you know, their little body. The corn, it says, I counted the attempts to accomplish this feat. The corn fell 69 times to the ground, but the insect persevered. The 70th time, he reached the top. The ant's accomplishment gave me courage for the moment, and I never forgot the lesson. When we're praying, keep on praying until you see the answer come, or God tells you you're praying in the wrong manner. Pray according to His will and what He wants and not necessarily what your will is. But if you're walking in unity, in intimacy, in closeness with the Lord, you're going to know what His will is in a situation. And if you're not sure, you can look in the Word, and you can find the answer. Bulldog faith is not going to give up until you get the answer. Noah, you know, how would you like to have been Noah? And God says, build me an ark. Well, what is an ark? Okay, this is what it is because it's going to rain. Well, what is rain? You know, and so Noah starts on it, and all the people are ridiculing him and making fun of him. But his faith is in God, not what's the circumstances going on around him and something that he's not aware of or used to. And he keeps on building his ark. Moses, you know, he said, and I've, you know, said lots of times like that, Lord, my tongue stutters, I stammer, I can't do that. Send somebody else. But no, God sent him. And he believed God and he did what he was supposed to do. Abraham, we heard him mention. You know, God told him, you're going to be the father of many nations. Well, I don't even have a child. I'm way past the childbearing age. I'm not even sure I want a child at this age. But he believed God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. And he was pleased with him. And, you know, we think of Joseph when he was thrown in the pit by his brothers. But how God used that and promoted him to where he not only saved the nation, but he saved his family. So we never know what God's up to when he's doing some things in our lives. But we just have to walk by faith and trust, stay in his word. You know, I know every one of you women know the word. I know you know the word. And so it's not that we have to feed you a lot of word. It's we have to just stir up that word that's in you and remind you of what the word will do in our lives. Psalms 43:5 says, you know, put your hope in God. Don't be cast down. Don't put your hope in yourself or in man. We may not feel his presence or see his hand at work, but we have to have faith that he is right here in the midst of our situation. and that He is working all things out for our good and for His glory. The Word says that He is a faithful God. Is that not correct? Does He not say He is faithful? And He's especially faithful to those who love Him and call Him Lord. Is that right? Let's look at Psalms 89. Psalms 89, and let's see, verse 1. It says, I will sing of the mercy and loving kindness of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness, where? From generation to generation. And you know, the Word says that He will bless those who bless Him down to 1,000 generations. The righteous, He'll bless us down to 1,000 generations. But then the iniquities and the sins are going to come down 4 generations, which is 40 years. So we want to get the blessings working in our lives and have that passed on down to our children and to our grandchildren. God is not a man that He should lie, nor does He have to repent. He doesn't have to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Oops, I shouldn't have gone there. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. He does what He meant to do. And we don't have to fear that. He didn't say that He might do it, or I might heal you, or, well, maybe I will heal you, or I could heal you, or I could provide for you. He said, no, I will. It is His will to provide for us. And it's in His time that He does it. Matthew 8 and 10 is the story of the centurion, and he says to Jesus, I'm a man under authority, and I understand authority. So you speak the word. Get that? Speak the word, and I will believe it. This is the word. You speak it, and you can believe it. And what he spoke was done. And Jesus marveled and replied, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith. No, not even in Israel. That man did not doubt for a minute. He didn't waver one bit in his belief. He knew that if Jesus said it, it was going to be a done deal. When we speak the word over a situation, we can expect it to happen. And we've heard that. We've been encouraged in that several times this weekend already. Use the word. It's here for our benefit. It's here for our protection. And it's here for God's glory. We just have to apply it. And it's our choice. It's our will that does it. Nobody else can do it for us. We have to do it ourselves. Matthew 17:20, the disciples could not cast out the epileptic spirit because of their unbelief. And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Another interesting one is Matthew 21:21, where Jesus cursed the fig tree. The fig tree looked good, but it was not its time to produce fruit, and it didn't have any fruit on it. He cursed it because it was deceiving. And there's a lot of us that look good, but there's no fruit coming out of our life. We're always in the same situation, same scenarios always going on, same problems. You know, that is not a good situation. We should be maturing, we should be growing, we should be producing fruit, and we should be making disciples. Like Janie said, you know, getting past being a child and coming into that maturity. So we don't want to be deceptive and look like something that we're not. But we want to have the fruit working in our life so that when someone that has a problem comes up to us, they can eat of and partake of the things in our life. And it's going to be life and health and strength to them. And it's going to help them get free. Jesus said to them, If you have faith and do not doubt, he's talking to his disciples when they marveled over the dead tree. If you don't doubt, you shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if you say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And all things Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, you've never seen faith so great in all of your life as there is out in West Texas. There's not a mountain one. There's not even a hill to go over. We have got mountain-moving faith out there. I'm telling you. And it says you can speak to this tree and it'll be cast out. We don't have any trees either. So when you come to Plainview, guess what you're going to see? A plain view. Where's Bobby? You're from Smackover, aren't you? I said, what kind of a name is Smackover? And how did it get it? Well, the way Plainview supposedly got its name is this young man was courting his girlfriend, and they were going for a ride in the buggy, and he wanted to kiss her. But every time he looked back, he could still see the mom and dad on the front porch. And the further he went, he'd look back, and he could still see mom and dad. Pretty soon he just gave up and said, I'm just going to kiss you right here in Plainview. So that's the name of our town. Oh, my. Is our faith weak, or do we have strong faith? I had strong faith to deliver this message. And you had to have strong faith to come here. When we have strong faith, we respect the grace of God. And we realize what it cost Jesus to give us His grace for the forgiveness of our sins. Strong faith receives the grace of God. Isn't it fun to laugh? It's so good for us. Our faith is not knowing in that He can do it, but that He will do it. Romans 4:16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to us, the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Abraham believed, even though he knew his and Sarah's bodies were both dead and beyond bearing a child, but he believed. Faith is the grace of God, and it receives the gifts of God through faith. Dwight Moody wanted faith, and he began to read out loud. He read out loud to himself until faith came, because Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith releases God's grace. Strong faith respects the greatness of God. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus made something out of nothing, and that's us. And the greatness of God was when He raised Jesus from the tomb, the resurrection. That is the power of God. Strong faith regards the guidance of God. Hebrews 11 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go to another place, like Glen and Irma were, which he could receive as an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. This place is built on faith. It's built on faith, and it's built on obedience, and there was no fear. There may have been some trepidation, you know, maybe some wondering about it, but they did not let fear of the unknown stop them from doing what God had told them to do. They put their faith in gear and went ahead and did what God had showed them. James 2:21 through 23 says, Abraham was justified by his works when he offered Isaac upon the altar. Now, if God were to ask us to sacrifice one of our children, that would take a lot of faith to do. But you know, you can read the Bible for a long time and you can overlook one little word that can make a whole lot of difference in what it says. we were going to the Nazarene church, and I'd go to a Bible study, and we were studying Hebrews, I think it was about, anyway, it was about Abraham taking Isaac and sacrificing him. And the ladies were saying, oh, don't you know that Abraham grieved and fought with God and wrestled with God and everything about, do you really, I can't, you know, and all of this. And I said, I don't really think so, because Abraham's faith was in God, and he knew that he had promised him to be the father of nations, and he had to come through Isaac. So one way or other, Isaac's got to survive. So when they go up to the mountain, and he tells the servants, he says, you stay here with the animals, and we will go up and worship, and we will come back. And those ladies said, oh, I've read that scripture for years, and I've never seen that, where it says, we will come back. So Abraham knew that even if he killed Isaac, that God was going to raise him up. So his faith was a strong faith. And it reflected the glory and the guidance of God. Strong faith reflects the glory of God, and it gives glory to God. Abraham, again, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. The greatest thing we can do to bring glory to God is to believe Him and to believe His Word. And we can only receive from God through faith. Faith in Him, not in ourselves or other people. Now, we can also receive faith from Satan. He will tell us things, and we will believe them, and we will put our faith in what he says. So we can have faith in Satan and the things that he says instead of what God says. Sometimes it's easier to believe the negative and the circumstances than it is to believe the positive in what God says. Faith really is just believing something that somebody tells you. I could put my faith in everything that Janie says. I could put my faith in everything that Esther says. You know, but I have to put my faith in what God's Word says and not in somebody else. If we allow doubt, unbelief, questioning, and confusion to come into our minds, then we are receiving from Satan. If we have fear, then we cannot have the faith that we need to have in God. We've all received that measure of faith. And it's easy to fear the future. We fear for our families. We fear for our children. We fear for our health. You know, as we begin to get older and things don't work quite as quickly and easily and comfortably as they used to, we can have some fear, some doubt, but that's not what God wants us to have. We don't think on those things. That doesn't come into our mind. We don't put our faith in that, hey, I'm 70 years old. I'm going to start falling apart. I'm going to be in bad health. No, I've just reached middle age. I'm halfway there. You know, I got another 70 years. And if Abraham and these guys could live to be 900 years old and everything working, I should be able to handle another 70. I don't know that I want to live another 70, but the way the world's going, I think about another 2 years would be fine. At least until the next presidential election. But the world bombards us on every side with fear. All you have to do is just watch TV for a little while, and you will be so stressed out that you will just have so much fear. That, you know, they say, you got to have all this money. You got to have a 401k, I think. I don't know what those are because I don't have one. But and then there's a something else that I don't have one of those either. You know? So I was telling Janie, how much money do you know is going to be enough? You know, it only takes one major illness to just wipe it all out. But your faith is in God. He said, I will provide for you. I will take care of you. You're my child. So just have faith in me. Don't let fear come in. You cannot have fear. People tell us, you got to eat this certain food. The food thing, I'm telling you, there's not a day goes by that they haven't introduced a new pill that we can take that's going to immediately zap off 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds. You know, that's how instant we are. How long did it take us to get those pounds on? You know, there's this one lady in our church, she's 150 pounds overweight. And she said, Kathy, I just want God to zap that weight off of me. And I said, He didn't put it on you that way. He didn't just zap it on you. You put that on in a process of years, and it's going to take some time and effort to get it off. He'll help you if you pray. He'll help you. But, you know, we expect God to do these things. When we've done damage to our body, then, okay, God, we did it, but now you come in and clean it up and correct it. And do it today. Do it today, because I got things I got to do. I don't want to wait. So, the world creates an atmosphere to protect and provide for our flesh. Our flesh loves to be pampered. It loves to be fed. It's been buffeted real well this weekend. And we thank you for that. But faith provides not only for our body, but it provides for our spirit and our soul. This is for the whole body. This is for the total man. But Satan will bring fear to try to steal your faith. He can provide more visible means to create fear than we have visible means to increase our faith. Can I hear an amen on that? Because that is true. The TV, I absolutely will not listen to the news. I just won't listen to it. They never have anything good happening. Everybody's being run over, killed, shot, you know, and robbed, and it's bad. And I know that according to the scripture, it's going to get worse. Because if it's like it was in the days of Noah when the Son of Man comes back, then it's going to be just total evil all over. But praise the Lord, we have Psalms 91 we can stand under, don't we? And we have God as our covering. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That is a powerful verse. The weapons of our warfare. And when we get into this strongholds in wrestling, that's like we heard today. That's close combat. That's not a wrestling thing that's far off. But you got to get in there real close in close quarters with the enemy and wrestle with him and wrestle with his things to get it out and to keep it away. We have to keep the faith until we finish our race. Now, fear will keep you in neutral. It'll keep you parked, and it'll even make you go backwards. That's how you get backsliding, backslidden Christians. But God is a God that is always moving forward. He is a God that presses on. He doesn't stay and get stagnant. God will open doors of opportunity for us, and with it will also come many adversaries. When you're walking and moving in the power of the Lord, you can just bet that the devil and the demons are going to come and try and discourage you. So you need to be aware that your enemy will come along and try and steal your faith for what God is trying to do in your life. And I don't think I wrote this scripture down, but it says that God will shorten the days unless the very elect should be deceived. And don't you see time going faster? Faster and faster. And even the younger people are realizing it. It's not just we older ones, you know, that are realizing that. But the young ones are realizing, hey, time is going very rapidly. And I think that's because of this particular scripture, that God is shortening the days. He's speeding them up unless we ourselves should fall away, because there will come a great falling away. Fear is putting a perverted faith in what you can see and feel. If you can see it and feel it and hold it and trust it, that's where you can put your faith. The things of faith, you really can't see the things that we believe in. They're not tangible. Healing, you can't really see a healing. You can see the manifestations of it, but you can't see when God touches and heals or removes that thing. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's 2 Corinthians 5:7. In John 6:28, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." What God requires of us is that we believe in Jesus Christ, and we believe that God sent him, because we know that whatever is not of faith is sin. Mm-hmm. Doubt and fear have always been Satan's greatest tool against the family of God. From Eve until today, that tactic has not changed. And we heard that mentioned today, too, that he came to Eve and came with doubt, making her think, no, God won't really kill you. But that's what God has said. 1 Timothy 4:1 states that some departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of demons. And I want to just expand on that a little, that we have to be very careful, the teachings that we listen to today, because some of them are heresies and some of them are doctrines of demons. If it does not line up totally with the scripture, then you need to throw it out. Because what I hear a lot of is prophecies of prosperity, which God wants us to prosper. But that's where they're getting out of balance on it. Everything is geared towards money and prosperity and blessing me. If you want your blessing, you've got to put your money in my ministry, and then God's going to bless you back. You know, that's not a correct thing to say, because God will bless you when you give, and you give out of a cheerful heart, whoever you give to, but it should not be out of coercion. Or, you know, you go borrow money and give to my ministry, and if you give so much money, then it's going to be multiplied in our ministry, and some of that blessing is going to flow down to you. But that's not what God's Word says. He says he will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't contain if you bring the tithes and the offering into the storehouse. And then he will rebuke the devourer. So be aware of that. And now just know your word well enough and your relationship with God, that if you hear something that just kind of doesn't set right with your spirit, then as Sister Ida said, you know, sometimes you eat watermelon, you got to spit out the seeds. And that's, there can be good things, but there can be things that you just have to spit out. Romans 1:8 complimented the people on their faith, and their faith was known throughout the whole world. And Galatians 3:11 says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live by them. But Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law." So we don't want to get into a lot of laws and a lot of bondage and everything and try and keep all of those in order to have faith and to be pleasing to God, because he has redeemed us from that. But we can live by faith that God is there for us, and he's going to provide and he's going to supply. Luke 18:8 has a valid question in it. When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, at the rate it's going, he's not going to find a whole lot sometimes, you would think. Because they're trying, like we heard today, they're trying to take Christ out of everything. But you know, they cannot stop you from praying. They cannot stop you from testifying of the Lord. They can't stop your children from praying in school. That's one of their privileges, and it's just something that they can't stop. But the faith level, just in my generation, I've seen it just, it has gone down drastically. It's gone down drastically. Can I really depend on God? Where is my faith level? Can I depend on God to do what he said he'll do? We're people of faith, but do we really live by faith? Do we really live by faith? Do we know how to wait for God's timing? Hebrews 10:36 says, "For we have need of patience, that after we have done the will of God, we will receive the promise." We have to be faithful and happy in the waiting, like a dear little woman here who is pregnant. She finds out she's going to have a baby, but she doesn't run to the hospital when she finds out she's pregnant and deliver that baby. But what does she do? She begins to prepare her body. She begins to prepare her home for that child that she's going to receive. Now, I could tell you that I'm pregnant, but y'all wouldn't know that because I don't show being pregnant. So you would just have to kind of take that on faith until I began to show that I was going to have a baby. This expectant mother endures all the discomforts in her body and the challenges that she faces for the joy of knowing that she's going to deliver a child. She announces that a child is on the way, and no one can believe her until the evidence begins to show in her body. But she knows in her heart, and she believes, and she begins to prepare to receive that promised child that is coming. So it is with the promises of God. First, we have to hear the word. We have to conceive the word. We have to receive the word. We have to nurture the word. And then we will see that word come to fruition and bring forth what the promise was. And I want to close with this. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith." One of the funerals that we had this week was for a lady that had been in our church for quite a while, and she was in a wheelchair most of her life and a very sickly woman. And as I spent the last 2 days with her, just praying with her and singing and reading the Bible to her and everything, and I said, "Sandra, it's all right. This is what you've been living for. This is what you've been waiting for, to go to be with the Lord. Just release and go." Her husband had fought for just a week or 10 days. He just struggled fighting against dying. I think he was afraid to die. And I said, "Sandra, you know, there's nothing to fear in going to be with the Lord. That's our ultimate goal anyway." And as she was coming into the very last stages of dying, she called me, and I said, "Sandra, it's okay. Just go on and be with Jesus. Get your legs and dance around the throne and be with Bill." And there was this look. She grabbed my hand, and there was this look of fear on her face. And I said, "Sandra, there's nothing. There is no fear. There's nothing to fear." And I bound that spirit of fear away from her. And I guess, you know, it doesn't matter how we feel. We're prepared in our heart and our mind. Always when you come to that last step, it's that uncertainty. It's that moment of doubt. You know, I think that probably, unless you just die quickly, that you have that opportunity to think, you know, will God be there? Is He going to be pleased with me? You know, and am I going to stand before the judgment throne and my whole life's going to be exposed and all of the bad things, you know, come forth? But she released that fear, and it wasn't too long after that till she went on to be with the Lord. But I just thought, you know, her whole life, she was, I think, 59. Her whole life had been built on faith and on the Word of God. She loved God with all of her heart, every fiber of her being. But still, that humanity and that finiteness of life, there's that little just instant moment of fear. That her faith overcame that fear, and she went on to be with the Lord, and she's with all of her family today. So that was a good time being with them. We used to sing a little song that says, "Faith, faith, faith, just a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot, just use what you've got. Faith, faith, faith." Remember the mustard seed. You know, it's one of the smallest seeds. Even if you put that under that magnifying thing, it's still small. but it grows up into a great big tree that the birds nest in. So when you take that and you plant that seed and it grows and become what God wants it to be, then it can have great far-reaching effects. So anyway, that is my teaching for you, to stir up your faith in yourself. Stir up that faith that God has put in there, and stir up the belief and get rid of all of the doubt and unbelief. So I'm going to pray for that. For us. So I want us to stand up and just kind of stretch a little bit. And I know you've been through deliverance, so as I've mentioned these spirits, do you want to just take a breath and blow them out? Do you want to yawn, sneeze? Stretching feels good, doesn't it? Well, it's been a great weekend. Janie and I have enjoyed every single moment of it. We thank you for your hospitality, for the lovely, beautiful faces that we've seen. We see the glory of God on each one of them, the love of God on them. We've had a good time with Bobby and Louise. They've chauffeured us around, and we appreciate that very much. And enjoyed our shopping trip. That was fun. We had a good time. We got our shopping demon satisfied that day, Connie. So anyway... Well, Father, we thank you and praise you for this time together. Lord, I thank you for faith. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us a great faith, Father, an overcoming faith, a conquering faith, and that we have not allowed fear to have any part of our life because you have not given us a spirit of fear. And I thank you, Father, that as we go through this little time of deliverance, Father, that the spirits that have been stirring around and troubling and giving us some misery, Lord, they are going to leave in the mighty name of Jesus, because you have given us power and authority over every unclean spirit, and the word says that nothing shall by any means harm us, that once we have prayed and ministered deliverance, those spirits go out into dry places, and they are not going to come back and bring any of their friends with them, because we're going to be diligent to fill our house and to keep our house clean from these unclean spirits. So right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I release every one of us from a spirit of fear. Fear that came in when we were little children. Children have to be taught to be fearful. And we bind every spirit of fear that came in when we were children in the name of Jesus. And we command you to loose us and to go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of fear, abnormal fear, traumatic fear, fear of spiders, fears of bugs, fears of mice. You gave us authority over every creeping thing in the name of Jesus. Fear of snakes. Every spirit of fear has to go in the name of Jesus. Fear of getting old, go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of fear of getting old, fear that my health is going to fail, every one of you spirits have to go in the name of Jesus. Fear of the dark, go in Jesus' name. Claustrophobic spirits, fear of being in a closed place, you go. In the name of Jesus, we do not accept any spirits of fear in the name of Jesus. Now, every spirit of doubt, doubting God, doubting myself, doubting that God's word is going to work for me, doubting that I'm good enough for God to do anything for me, every spirit of doubt has to go. Every curse of doubt that has spoken and been working in our life has to go. In the name of Jesus. Every spirit of unbelief has to go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of unbelief, go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of confusion and of deception has to go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of confusion, I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. You loose God's people and let them go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of deception, being deceived by things that people have spoken over us, every spirit of deception has to go in the name of Jesus. We will not have any part of you, any part of Satan's kingdom in us. We don't want anything in common with Satan. Every demonic spirit has to go in the name of Jesus. I come against every spirit of heaviness, every spirit of gloom, every mourning spirit, every spirit of sadness. I come against those in the name of Jesus, and I command them to leave in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of sorrow and sadness, you go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of trauma and abuse, you go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of trauma and abuse, go. Emotional abuse, you go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of emotional abuse, go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of rejection, I come against you in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of rejection, rejected by parents, rejected by friends, rejected by self, afraid that God's going to reject me. Every spirit of rejection, fear of rejection, you have to go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of rejection, go in the name of Jesus. Self-rejection, you go in the name of Jesus. I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm not perfect, I'm not pretty, I can't do that. All of that has to go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of self-rejection has to go in the name of Jesus. All of it. Self-hatred, you go in the name of Jesus. Self-hatred has to go in the name of Jesus. Go. God can't love me because I'm not perfect. You go in the name of Jesus. Every perfection spirit has to go in the name of Jesus. Every perfection spirit has to go in the name of Jesus. All of it has to go in Jesus' name. All of it has to go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. All the curses that have been inherited, go in Jesus' name. We break the family inherited curses in the name of Jesus. All of them. Back 10 generations, we break those curses in the name of Jesus. Back 10 generations off of us in the name of Jesus. We're going to have the blessings of the Lord and not the curses in the name of Jesus. And we break those curses off of our children. We call our children into the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. We call our unsaved loved ones into the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. We bind every spirit of Antichrist that is keeping them out of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of rebellion has to go. All the curses of rebellion in our family have to go in the mighty name of Jesus. Every curse of rebellion, go in Jesus' name. Rebellion and stubbornness, go. Witchcraft, go. Witchcraft, go in the name of Jesus. Every bit of it has to go in the mighty name of Jesus. We praise you, Father. We bless your name, Lord, that you're setting your women free. You're setting your handmaidens free, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you and give you honor and glory, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God that said the truth, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, Father. And our faith is in your word. Our faith is in you, Father. Our faith is believing that when we speak to a demon spirit, it has to run and stark terror in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, every unclean spirit, you loose these people in the name of Jesus. You loose every one of us. Every spirit of tiredness and weariness and every spirit of stress and pressure has to go in the name of Jesus. Every bit of it has to go in the mighty name of Jesus. Every spirit of stress and pressure has to go in the name of Jesus. All of it has to go in the name of Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Father. We bless your holy name. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you. We honor and glorify you, Lord. We magnify your name, Father. We magnify your name, Lord, the name above all names, Father. We praise you and thank you. We thank you, Father. We bless your name, Father. Hallelujah. Father, I speak a blessing over these ladies. I speak a blessing over every woman, a blessing of faith, a blessing of stretching their faith, Lord, of increasing faith, Father, of just bulldog faith, that they're going to dig in and they're not going to give up. a spirit, I speak a blessing of perseverance. Perseverance in the name of Jesus. That they're going to get the scripture, they're going to get a word, they're going to stand on it. They're going to stand on it and they're going to hold on to it until they see the manifestation. A spirit of determination. I bless them with a spirit of determination in the name of Jesus. A spirit of strength. Physical strength and spiritual strength, supernatural strength, because God is the strength of our heart and He is the strength of our life. And I bless them with strength. And Father, I bless them with a spirit of obedience. Obedience to You and submission to You and those in authority. Father, I bless them with a spirit of obedience and their families, their children, with a spirit of obedience. And Father, most of all, I bless them with a spirit of love and peace and joy. Love and peace and joy, Father. And I thank You, Lord, that You bless each one of these ladies. And Father, I pray tonight as we all lie down to sleep, that our sleep will be so sweet and we will have wonderful dreams from You, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, that when we rise in the morning, we're going to wake refreshed, ready to serve You with the joy of the Lord strong in our spirit. And we will come together glorifying and honoring You, Father. And I thank You, Lord, for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. Be here at 6 o'clock in the morning to pray with at least Patty. And Dr. Noel, and the other faithful ones. So y'all have a good night, and we will see you tomorrow.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.